The drive is live.
See, I don't like that, D. Scott. I don't think they didn't have any pride. I don't think that situation, like, I don't think CJ didn't have any pride.
Didn't look like it.
Last year in New England, I think he had some pride. I think he just stunk up the building, and along with others with him. But let's get to that, because the United States went out there and got there. And I hate the way they, you know, I've told you before, I like, just go ahead and get your ass kicked for me. You know what I mean? So let me go up. But they didn't even get their ass kicked good. They final scored their ass kicked, because they still had me in the entire first part of the second half, mm-hmm. where it looked like they were the aggressor finally, putting pressure on them. It felt like they're going to score at some point. I'm in here. And then next thing you know, the goofy, listen, you ain't had to have watched soccer or be a aficionado, whatever I'm trying
aficionado.
To say. There it is. Soccer watcher. To understand that was comical, what happened with the third goal and the goalie. That was silly. Hell, I'd have rather him just use his hand and set up a penalty kick.
I'm sure
they would have had a better shot. They had a better shot than what he did. Anybody could look at there and say, well, that looks like little kids. Like, I've never even seen that happen at kids' soccer matches. But overall, like, just get your ass kicked. If it had been 4-1 and they just got their ass rocked, no, but I had to hang in there for a good, you know, 70 minutes of that thing, because I felt like, well, they might have a shot here. Instead of it, you just look up and now it's 4-1 and they've gotten their asses kicked. But the way this thing went, obviously there is a little bit of both, right? But do you think this was more of a choke job by the U.S. or more that Belgium was just better? Obviously both is the correct answer. But which was it more of? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. Which was it more of? Was it more that the United States men's soccer team choked, or that they were just going up against a team that was better?
No, I think they just choked.
You think it's more
I think they no-showed. I think they appeared to be outclassed, which would tell you that the other team was better, which I'm not going to disagree with, but I don't think that was the case. I think it was a choke job. I think they couldn't even pass the ball. They couldn't even like the other team was doing the simple things like savagely well. You could see it as they were just. I'm talking about just passing back and forth and making the defense work and making the defense adjust.
I don't even think they were doing it savagely well, man. I think they were just passing back and forth.
Well, but the Americans were so bad at it that it made it look like they were like exceptional at it, and the U.S. was just poor at it. Like, it reminded me of in our American football. It reminded me of a team that had an awful game plan and never adjusted. Like whatever they were doing to almost like bum rush them on defense, to never let them get comfortable and just pass it around. I mean, whatever they were doing, the U.S. never had an answer for. Never adjusted. Never did anything different. Everything was extremely difficult. Literally, when they possessed the ball, not on any part of the field, on every part of the field, when they possessed the ball, it was made difficult. So I just don't. The opponent was better, yes. I don't believe they were that much better to where they just forced America to look awful. I think America's got to own a lot of that.
It did, like, there are some times where you watch, in any sport, you watch games and you're like, they made them play bad.
Yeah. They couldn't handle the pressure. They forced them into it.
They made them play bad.
Like, the Texans defense does that a lot on
Texans
Sundays.
Texans defense, and I'll be honest with you, I think the Patriots, that a part of what happened with the collapse of the offense, I think the Patriots defense made them play bad. I think there was some of that in there. In this game, I think there was some of that with Belgium. But, again, you don't have to be an avid soccer watcher to go out there and look like the ball is in the box. The first goal, the U.S., just there's three guys that's there to clear it. They all look at each other like a pop up, like somebody else has called it.
Yeah,
none of them there. Like if you'd have told me the Belgian player went yell, I got it, and they all just stood back and thought it was one of them who said it, and he just snuck in it. He just snuck in between them and took it for him, and then nobody was ready on the other side either. I mean, it was just it was stuff over and over again that just appeared to be, yeah, I know Belgium's better, but they just don't seem, like, especially if you've watched this run of the U.S. the whole way, they didn't seem as aggressive as they have been against the other teams. Now, maybe Belgium scared them off of playing their normal game, but they didn't seem as aggressive. They just seemed tentative the entire start of everything. And then I thought once they tied the game, and by the way, Tyler, at that point, it was 8-1 on goal.
It was like 13-4 at half.
It was 8-1, but somehow it was tied. I thought, okay, that building is charged. All right, the 12th man was out there.
12s.
Was out
Wrongo,
there.
Trademarked bitches.
I just wanted to check and see if Tyler was with us. Like, they're rolling, and it's like, all right, man, they're getting their asses kicked, and it's showing on but the scoreboard's tied. And they came right back down here. And just turnovers, it just seemed like, honest to God, the moment was just too big for them. And they had reached the space where they walked in. I heard Carly Lloyd say it after the game. She said, it felt like they lost that game before they got off the bus.
I'll agree with that.
It felt like they had gotten themselves in the mindset that, All right, I got to be careful. I can't get beat instead of going after it and being aggressive.
I don't know soccer scheme at all, but it appeared like anytime the ball would be quote unquote inside the hashes and we had possession of it, they were going to blitz whoever had the ball and force a quick pass and not let us think. If they'd let us hang out on the sidelines with the ball all we wanted. Just hang out wherever you wanted. But anywhere in the middle of the field, anywhere between the hashes, they were going to blitz us. Some man was going to come running right at you, or somebody was going to be right on your back and not allow you to just field the pass. Kind of.
And then when you flipped it on the other end, they could just dribble the ball all the way to the box.
It seemed like they just kept backing up. It was 13-4, I believe, at halftime, shots on goal, and it felt like 13-4. They were getting that kick from the right or left side to where they kick it towards the goal towards and then somebody try to head it in. Yeah. I mean, they were getting that at ease. Like just however, and then we would get over there and we'd kick it off one of their knees. They double team us. Like it was schematically, I think it was bad. I take that for what it's worth. I don't know the scheme of soccer, but it looked like we had no chance. As I always say, the polo on the sideline didn't appear to have a game plan worth a damn.
I gotta
be honest. And he damn sure didn't adjust anything worth a damn. So I think it was all bad all the way around.
I gotta be honest. The whole way that they were looking and how they came out, it didn't. I mean, I wonder, were they following a game plan? Like they seemed so intimidated right off the bat, like, and he seemed to not recognize them.
Yeah.
The way he was talking. I'm not gonna lie to you, fellas. I felt this way going in, and Belgium, obviously, it was a part of them. It did feel like a little bad juju with the whole flow thing, with Flo Balogun being able to play again, and out of nowhere, right, but the day before, it did kind of feel like a little bit of.
You are fake news.
they kind of got away with one. Yeah, I don't think he should have had a red card, but also, like, who else is getting? We've never seen a red card overturned like that. We've never
seen one that bad.
Never seen that. I don't know. I was going to say, Tyler, you can count how many minutes, how many years you got soccer knowledge on you to say.
But this month.
Like, it did kind of feel like. And then obviously Belgium, they were, that was something they were talking about. Afterwards, they were saying it. And then they're, what did they put on Twitter to overturn that? Is what they put out there.
Well played. I didn't see that, but well played by them if that is indeed what they did.
Yeah, I know.
The entire world will look for excuses to hate us. That's for sure.
The beauty of it is for Belgium is they, it happened and you won anyway, and you won convincingly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's if he had not played and you'd have won 4-1, especially with how the United States played, then it would have been that's a cheat. Everybody discount their win because we didn't have our best player. It happened. We had him. We got our ass kicked anyway. Belgium should be proud of the effort.
Yeah. Speaking of ass kicked yesterday, Homer Mike. Oh boy, that was as bad as the United States. If we were the type of show that did a poll, the poll today would be who got their ass kicked more, the U.S. men's soccer team or Mike Burrows himself? Who should get it worse,
Pulisic or however the hell you said Pulisic or however the hell you said his name, or Burrows?
Burrows. Now, who got their ass kicked more? We got to talk about this because, listen, I'm not mad at Mike no more, man. I'm not mad at you, Mike, and none of you should be. Yes, Tyler, I said that. None of you should be because this is not his fault. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
You should not be mad at Homer Mike anymore. Mike Burrows last night, the Astros, who are fighting to try to get to 500, fighting in the division, which after yesterday are currently three games back of Seattle in the West and a game and a half back of the Rangers in the final wild card spot. So they're in good position. But they cannot keep running Mike out there, and it is not Mike's fault. You stop it. I command every last one of you. Tyler, you too.
Hold on, so.
No, you stop it.
I know the last two starts, Mike has thrown 9 in the third innings. I don't know why, when I read the rest of this, he was allowed to throw that many innings. But he has thrown, in his last two starts, 9 in the third, 15 hits, 11 earned runs, 14 runs overall. Thank you, Braden Shoemake. 2 homers, which is pretty good for him over 2 starts. 2 homers, 6 Ks, and 4 walks. Those are his last 2 starts. And the reason why I'm telling you, Tyler and Bill, who says, for the love of God, release Burrows.
It sucks to suck.
Homer Mike must have photos on Dana Brown. Why is he still on the team? Guys, he's not running himself out there.
Come on, Joe!
I think Mike's doing the best he can, folks.
That ain't good enough.
He's giving you everything he has. You can see the look in his eyes every time he hits it. There's a fly ball hit. When Abrams absolutely just destroyed that ball, you can see the look in his eyes like, oh, damn, I did it again. He's not running himself out there.
It's like Brittany.
For some reason, Mike, Dana, whoever the hell it is, the pitching coach, because if I were the pitching coach, I'd come out to the – I would Lance Jordan hold my own presser to let you know I am not in favor of this.
It sucks.
I am just doing what I'm told. But he should not pitch anymore. Everyone knows it. Christian Javier is ready to go. His last appearance, he went 2 innings, 2 hits, gave up a home run, the only earned run, but he got 4 swings and misses. He got 4 strikeouts and a walk. It's his turn. Let him go. Hell, Lance is on his way up. We've reached the point that Lance, you trust Lance more. Straight out of the coffee shop. You trust Lance more.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
This ain't Mike's fault no more. Mike shouldn't come out of the damn bullpen anymore. 10 runs.
Yeah, I mean, you spot him 6, and before you can blink, he's giving it up. Yeah, this has to be the last straw, right? This has to be the straw that broke the camel's back. We can't lean into how good his stuff is. We can't be patient anymore. I agree with you. This makes it impossible to keep Christian Javier in the bullpen. Doing radio yesterday, I don't know if you heard it, but with Sean Bajani talking about blue ball, they may move blue ball, blah, blah, blah. And if they do, they need Javier. Hey, I get it. Theoretically, I guess, you know, I get that idea.
Blue ball's got some nuts on him, man.
Yeah, well, he's going to need them because Javier's got to get into the starting rotation. If it's not Javier, it's got to be, you mentioned McCullers. You got Blanco coming around the corner. You got Wisniewski who's coming up and pitching. I don't know if they're pitching well or not, but they're out there throwing up. They're not throwing on flat ground somewhere playing long toss. And so the good thing about the Burrow implosion, if you will, is that you've got, including Javier, I mean, you've got 3 to 4 arms coming up that you got to give a shot to. You at least got to give him a shot.
Yeah, Mike's got to go to Sugar Land for the rest of the season.
Got
to
go.
He might need to go to the Abreu League.
No, man. He's under contract to 2032. He's making $800,000.
2032.
Yeah, he's arbitration eligible in 2029. I'm not saying you can get rid of him. I'm not saying that Mike can't come back and be a good pitcher for you. It's over, guys, right now this year. You're trying to get to the postseason. And I'd be mad at Hunter, because Hunter, if he keeps pitching the way he did, Hunter's got to go out there. He's got to pitch. Got it. He's your ace. Let's go. Mike Burrows does not have to. You've already set him down once. And for some reason, you saw enough to feel like, oh, we got to put him back in here. And now he has gone in the last two games. Why in the hell he was in long enough to pitch 9 1/3? I don't know.
Why that first number is so high, you can't explain.
I can't explain it. He gave up 6, in a blink of an eye, in that third inning. You're up 6-1. It became 6-6 before you could even. He should have been done. Then. He was allowed to then give up another homer. He was allowed to pitch the fourth and go into the fifth again. And set up.
Get that average up, man.
And set up old James Wood. If he didn't know that was going, as he hit that thing, my goodness.
It's just a little funk.
I mean, it is, you got to try something else. You've got to try Christian Javier. Hell, I think AJ Blueball deserves to get a start ahead of what he's putting together. Right now, you can't keep running him out there.
How about O'Thong? Where'd he go, man?
He's on the IL. He's got a little knee issue.
That's right. He tweaked his knee, didn't he?
But like, I mean, come on, man. Like, this is, he cannot get another start the rest of the season.
I tried to hang in there with you, Mike.
He just can't.
I tried to refrain from calling you Homer, Mike. I tried to buy into his spot as, man, he's got good stuff. But can't do it, man. Once again, I'm on the show train, and it's good enough. The spot looks silly once again.
Again, this is not your fault, Mike. Have you seen Good Will Hunting? This is where I am with you. It's not your fight. It's not your fault, Mike. It's not your fault.
How about them apples?
It's not.
I do remember that part, T.
And Yiner, it's not yours either. It doesn't matter what you call.
Would be that cool thing, if you that threw out a base that, runner. That Ross thing Wallow.
Of listen, that thing eventually is getting deposited. He's not giving up wall scrapers either, folks.
No doubters. Most of the time.
These things are getting out, man.
Oh, one of them just pat the mitt and don't turn around.
It is. What does Stephen A. talk about the Dallas Cowboys? It's just a matter of time. It is a matter of time every time with Mike. Hell, he didn't give up a home run in his previous start, but gave up 4. They scored 11 runs yesterday. The Astros had 2 different 3-run homers and another 2-run homer.
Astros ain't loyal.
And none of it included Yordan.
And never took the lead. From the first inning. Oh, no, they had through
the one. I'm sorry. You know what? It was 6-1. It was 6-1. Sorry, they got away from us.
We sucked.
But come on, man. Like, you can't do that. You can't get out to a 6-1 lead and finish with 11 total runs and lose to a team. Good God.
What
man.
Is going on?
Again, Mike, I'm not mad at you. No one else cannot be mad at Mike. Mike is not calling his number. Now, at some point here, Tyler, we're getting close to going Remember the Titans. And what is Ryan Gosling's character where he went ahead and took himself out and put Tweety in?
It's a liability at safety.
I feel like Mike at this point might – like I will think highly of Mike if he took himself out like Ryan Gosling did and put Donald Faison on him. And he walked over – and it's just his turn to start. And he walked over to Christian Javier and said, here, man.
Here's the ball, man.
Here, man. You take got it, spot. Man. Please, take my spot. We got to win.
For the team.
For us. Good God, man. Because I'm getting crushed, man. God, he did not sleep well in Washington, wherever they were. All right, coming up, we've been doing our AFC contender concern meter, and we have reached the Kansas City Chiefs. What is your concern meter with the Kansas City Chiefs? They went 6-11 last year. What's your concern meter? We'll do that coming up next.
Who is your daddy?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Sports Radio 610, breaking news.
All right, you got some breaking news. What you got, Tyler?
The drive speaks things into existence, baby. Homer Mike. Mike Burrows, after last night's horrendous outing for the Houston Astros, gave up 10-plus runs. He has been optioned to AAA. Burrows, the Astros brass were listening last segment.
One minute ago from Brian McTaggart, I see it.
You know Dana's listening to Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program.
Why does it, sorry Tyler, I didn't mean to interrupt your breaking news call. Why does it come across and sound like Tyler gets so much joy out of
I
out
do. Of if you suck ass, well, get beyond, your ass but, out of here.
No, beyond, like, I hear the fan in you, but I feel like personally you just really
you think
feel,
you really enjoy
it. I mean, I think Tyler's wanting to walk by you, boy, if you down on your luck, he's just gonna kick the hell out of you.
That will be my reaction to any and all future Astros arms that cannot have an outing where they give up 10 runs. That's just the way it is. Get out of here.
He'll tell you it was Braden. It was just 7. Braden Shue makes issue at shortstop, allowed those other 3 runs to come around. That's what he'll tell you.
That was the ground crew's fault, most likely.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Aggies don't make mistakes.
Yeah, no, oh, smooth, no, listen.
Smooth-ass Shoemake out of air, huh?
Convince me that this was not the drive's doing. I know that it's completely absurd.
Every time we give somebody a nickname, they get pushed out of town.
I know it's completely absurd that this was in the works. But we literally did a segment, and we ended the segment. He was still a member of the roster of the Astros. We come back, and right before we come back from break, he is optioned to AAA. And I believe I asked for it.
The drive makes it happen.
I believe I said he needs to go to AAA. They need to stay there for the year. Now listen up, Dana. Because this won't be Joe. Listen up, Dana. Don't you try to get yourself excited. Don't you start rolling through here around August and say to yourself, I don't know, man, really coming around with Mike. Let's bring him back up. Let's put him back in. No.
Mike's been good in Sugarland.
Let Mike find it the rest of the way in Sugarland and earn a spot.
What do you think the move is here? I mean, we get excited about him going. I mean, this means somebody's ready, right?
They're bringing in Santa. He's coming back. He's coming back.
He's not a starter.
He's not a starter, but Christian Javier is.
So he can. Okay. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, Christian Javier has to slide into it.
Either that or they've got 4 games before he comes back. That spot comes back around in rotation.
Yep.
So
yep.
One of them other guys might be ready by then, too.
But, yeah, that was the thing is. He didn't need to. If you're just joining us, we just talked about Homer Mike. Mike Burrows, who gives up home runs like we use the restroom every day.
On the level above us.
Yes.
Multiple times a show.
Multiple
certain
times.
Days.
Yes. He has been optioned to AAA Sugar Land after his last 2 outings.
Welcome
9 and a third, including last night, 4 and a third. 7 earned, 10 runs given up with 2 homers. His last 2 starts.
I think he made one of the errors, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think one of them were credited to him.
One of them may have been, but the Shoemaker one is the reason why the other 3, it's not 10. I like how Tyler's just going ahead and giving him the others. He has been optioned to Sugar Land, and I think he should stay the rest of the way. Right, I don't even know how you can even trust him in the AJ Blue Ball, job. I don't even want him to even do that. So yeah, this makes a lot of sense, and he should. You are trying to get to the postseason. He's got options. He's been had options. His ass should have been down there. And he's got to get some stuff. Christian Javier, I would assume, is sliding into the starting rotation. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, they got a few days before they got to make that decision, but I agree with you. I'd like to see, maybe that's a conversation down the road here, is, you know, you got 4 potential guys, maybe not that available right now, but will be available sooner rather than later, I would think. You know, which one is the best fit? Which one has the highest ceiling. I know the one that is currently available is my choice, and that's Christian Javier.
God, I can't wait to hear. I know Tyler's going to be waiting for this around. Oh, they're on the road. We'll hear some stuff come out. But I can't wait to hear what Joe has to say about this move. Because Joe's been the one talking about his great stuff. Cannot wait to hear what the manager, Joe Espada, has to say when he speaks to the media before the game.
Still a lot of baseball left.
About Mike. That nine and a third. How you allow him to stay in as long as I mean, I watch Ema get pulled after giving up five in the first. he just lets Mike hang out
there. Yeah, Ema's still a little tender. Oh, Mike, he's hard.
I believe he's going to turn around. Joe believes he's going to turn around all the time. All right, AFC contender concern meter. All right, we've gone through a lot of the teams in the AFC and who we look to be potential playoff teams. Again, some in a level below the Texans, some maybe on the same tier as the Texans, and maybe even some above, if you believe there's AFC teams in a tier above the Texans. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a awful, disappointing, whatever you want to call it, 6-11 season after making it to the Super Bowl three straight years. They missed the postseason. They had a top 10 pick for the first time since they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They have made some additions. They brought in running back Kenneth Walker. They shored up some spots in their secondary, brought back Legarius Sneed, and shored up some guys up front, brought in Justin Fields as a backup quarterback and maybe potentially more. And some may say the biggest move is bringing back offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy as he returns. They did lose some guys. They lost both their corners and Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson to the Rams. Hollywood Brown was there and left some guys across the defensive line as well left. They did draft the number one corner in Mansoor Delane from LSU and grabbed a talented Peter Woods as well, R. Mason Thomas from Oklahoma. So they've made some moves to try to shore up this group. I think the big question is obviously Patrick Mahomes, who tore his ACL and LCL, but has not missed any practice. He has been at OTAs, fully participating, at mandatory minicamp, fully participating, and it seems like they think he is going to be ready by week one. Where is your concern meter with the Chiefs? 713-572-4610. Where is your return or your concern meter with the Chiefs?
I'm going with the seven, and it is solely due to Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. Because every time they turn around and hand it to Kenneth Walker, he's a good player, obviously. Every time they turn around and hand that sucker to Kenneth Walker as the opponent on the other side of the field, I'm thankful. I'm thanking the good Lord. Take it out of Pat Mahomes' hands. Number one. Number two, I hate what they've done from a pass catcher standpoint. You know, I think Travis Kelce is a year older. You know, he's not who he once was. Still a good player, but he's not who he once was in terms of just a game changer. Now, the one thing about Pat and Travis is they never thrived because I think Travis was a great athlete per se. I think it was always about their chemistry. So I do think they will age well, but he's still not who he once was. And then you look down there, Rashee Rice, we don't even know if he's going to be – if he's going to be available. We don't even know if he's going to be free. Season. I don't even know. He might be in prison somewhere. I'm not real sure. But you got Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Tyquan Thornton. Their specialty players, their skill, offensive skill does not impress me. And so it's Pat and Andy that I can't sleep at night not having them on my mind and them being a concern. But I'm going to go with a seven.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, concern meter with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been the class of the AFC, really of the league before last year's debacle. To me, I'm with you. I'm in the range of the seven, and mine is not really about all the other stuff, right? I mean, Clint, their skills have not always been great.
Right.
And they won a Super Bowl with MVS is their number one target at times. Rashee Rice, if he can keep himself out of trouble, is a I'd say top 30 receiver in the league, a good player. But I think the whole thing is just really Mahomes. Is how quickly is he Mahomes?
Yeah, able to move around the way.
Because the big thing about him is him and Andy together, and you could probably throw Chris Jones in that. They've been able, but specifically those two, been able to clean up or mask some of their issues. And I think their offensive line is better if it's healthy. And if Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, he's had worse weapons than this, and they have been successful. But you just don't know. You just don't know how long it's going to take him to be that. And we'll see what the addition of Kenneth Walker does to them. This is probably the best back they've had under Mahomes.
You know, there's a couple of things with the Chiefs. I do like your point, and I think it'll go unnoticed, or it'll get very little attention. But Eric Bieniemy coming back with his approach to coaching, not necessarily scheme or anything, but just to coaching and coaching guys hard and holding guys accountable. When you're on the heels of a 6-11 season, you know, if that's during a Super Bowl run, you may get a little bit of pushback if you're EB. But when you come in like this and you're coming, everybody's tired of 6-11. No, everybody's motivated to do right. All of a sudden, you embrace that mentality again. I think the Eric Bieniemy approach is always, to me, it's always the old school approach. It's always the to me the right way to go. But boy, you talk about when you get a really good team to embrace that, boy, you can move mountains. So I think the EB thing is very interesting. I think it's real. But the other part of it is I've always felt this way, and I'm still blown away at the level of success, how long they were able to sustain that level of play, given how Pat Mahomes chose to play football. It was as risky. He chose to be as risky as any quarterback has ever chose to be in the NFL history, and he did it to the tune of Super Bowls. I do wonder if, obviously, health and Father Time are part of it, but I do wonder if there's going to have to be a shift in how Pat approaches the quarterback position. Because, man, the way that he once did, it's hard to argue it because they won Super Bowls, but damn, that was risky play, man. Damn, that was. I mean, you're testing Father Time at a crazy clip. To think that he wasn't injured more than he has been in his career is wild, considering the way that he played. So I do wonder if there's a major shift, and if at some point it's going to happen. I do wonder if it's this coming season.
Yeah, and again, like I said, they've had the best running back they've had in a while, yep. And maybe that is a part of the shift of getting Kenneth Walker involved. Text line coming through. I don't know if they're the best team in their division. I don't know if they can win their division anymore. Kelsey's been trash ever since he started dating Taylor Swift. I don't know, man. He led the AFC in receiving yards last year.
Yeah.
Married now.
I mean, here's the deal. You're talking about Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. They don't give a damn they'd like to win their division. They'd like to have the best record in the AFC and get a bye. But you're talking about Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. At this point, it's just a matter of, hey, let's navigate a 17-game season and let's get in the playoffs. And I guarantee you, when that tandem is in the playoffs, assuming everybody around them is healthy, nobody's going to want to play them. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, I know they wanted a clip, and maybe the expectations were to have that bye and to be the best in football, which I'm sure they're still shooting for. But with as much as they've won, this thing becomes, how do we navigate the season? How do we get everybody out of jail and on the field? And how do we keep everybody healthy through 17 so that in week one of the playoffs, we've got our best team on the field. Yeah. And that's got to be what they're shooting for.
In fairness to them right now, they only have one person they're struggling to keep out of jail.
Right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
Rashee. Big piece for the only one in fairness to them. All right. David Montgomery, according to ESPN's coaches, scouts, executives, is not even looked at as a top 20 running back. Does that hit your ears wrong when you hear that? We'll discuss that coming up next.